Welcome back, everyone, to the Gigi Meyer podcast. I'm your host, Gigi Meyer. And today is a topic I'm feeling pretty hot about and pumped about. You know, when you get that feeling where you've just kind of figured something out or you've learned something new and you figured it out for yourself and you know it's going to make big changes in your life. That's what I feel is going to be happening today, hopefully. But first, if you missed my last episode, we talked about the 5 rules of GFIT. All the members in my program have to abide by these 5 rules of GFIT, and it helps set the expectation coming into the program and therefore setting themselves up for success. And so in that last episode, I shared those 5 rules with you. So definitely go listen if you haven't already. But today I want to talk about something that is absolutely key to the foundation of your success in every area of your life. And I know it's the key because I learned it from my dad and Tim Kite, two, you know, extremely brilliant people in my life. And so the reason why I'm so inspired by this is because right now I'm reading my dad's book called Above the Line. I'm actually reading it with my members, my GFIT members. And each week we hop on a phone or a Zoom call and we talk about a chapter at a time. And so it's just so powerful. It's a really great book. So if you haven't read it, you have to. It's called Above the Line. You can get off Amazon for like $10. And although it's about football, of course, like the stuff he talks about are things anybody can apply to their life, truly anybody. So, but really quick, the whole idea of the book, I'm just going to intro really quick, is that although we have certain situations in our life, certain events in our life that happen that we are not in control of, we are in control of our response to those events, our behavior, how we respond to those events. And therefore, that impacts the outcome associated with the event. And so Tim Kite has this formula. Tim Kite is a mentor to my dad. He's been a family friend for a while, a long time now, has changed, I think, all of our lives in the Meyer family. And he has a leadership consulting group that he does and travels like the world for. So he's amazing. But he has this formula that sums up exactly what I said. It's E plus R equals O, okay? E plus R equals O. Events plus response equals outcome. And so that says our response has an impact on the outcome because of the events, our response to the events that we have in our life that we don't have control over can impact the outcome, all right? And so our response to those events can either be above the line or below the line. And above the line behavior is skillful, intentional, and on purpose, while below the line behavior is impulsive, autopilot, and resistant, right? And so we can have impact over the outcome by the way we respond and behave to, which is what we can control, to the events that happen in our life that we cannot control. Right. And so that's the whole idea, that this concept, how often and how well you are able to choose and stay above the line with your behavior depends, you know, it essentially leads to the type of life you live, the quality of your life. It's the foundation of success in everything that you do. Choosing and staying above the line, right, is your quality of life is dependent on choosing and staying above the line. All right. That's the whole idea there. But we are in chapter 3 of the book, which talks about creating culture. And so that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit today. And if you know my dad at all, he is huge in creating a culture of champions and leaders. He's huge. Culture is everything to him. And naturally, like, I was raised by that. So culture is everything to me too. And so culture leads to the behaviors that are going to lead to the results that we want. So that says culture is the root, the core, right? Culture leads to the behaviors that gets the results that we want. And so when you think of culture, right, you typically think of a group or a team. Like the culture is established within that group or a team. But we also have to understand that there's a culture within us too. right? And the culture within that team or that group, it actually begins with us. So we have to understand that we have to work on that culture within us as well. We have to have a solid and clear culture of our own within ourselves. But regardless, here, you know, there is a culture involved in essentially everything that we do. We need to understand that. And so it's within ourselves, our family, our job, our team, our friend group, or the gym you go to, or the fitness classes you're in, everywhere, right? And so my dad talks about how we can create this culture, and it can be created by one of two ways. Up to you, right? It can be created by design or by default. By design essentially means it's established through above the line behavior with intention and purpose and skill. A culture by default is established through below the line behavior with impulse, autopilot, and resistant. And so, yeah, there's one that we prefer. One is better than the other. Obviously, we want a culture of design. But what we have to realize, it's completely in our control to establish that culture by design. And so here we are. You know, some of you are probably thinking, yeah, but the culture where I work really sucks, and I have zero control over that culture. And so that, although that might be true to a certain extent, but what you can control is the culture within yourself. And that's where it all starts anyways, right? That's all we can control. So you can ultimately have impact in the culture of your work or whatever group, just by starting with yourself, right? And so others might be saying, all right, how can I apply this really? Like, I'm not a coach. I'm not a leader. I'm not anything like that of some sort. If that's what you're thinking, to be honest, that's problem number one, right? If you don't think your culture has impact on anybody, that's truly a terrible perspective, okay? Because unless you live in a bubble, that's not true. You do have impact. You can lead. So I challenge you to know that and own that part of your life. All right. So the whole point in all of that I just talked about is whether you know it or not, we all have a culture that we can either establish by design or by default. It's in our control. And we can establish a culture by design through living above the line, or establish a culture of default by living below the line. And that culture is established by our actions, our behavior, because you can talk all you want, but of course, you know, this, actions speak louder than words. All right. So the whole thing is, why does establishing a culture by design even matter? Why should we even focus on something like that? And you're thinking like, Gigi, why does this even have to do with my fitness and health? Promise, I'm going to bring it all together. But first of all, I'm going to say this. I hope you realize by now that I have a mission that I'm on that involves way more than just helping people with their fitness and health. I'm way more interested than just helping people get the six pack or a nice butt. I'm way more interested than stuff like that. I'm way more interested than just helping people get physically fit. I'm interested. I want to help people get fit in all aspects of their life, right? And what I've realized in order to do this, it starts with your physicality, getting physically fit. And we all know what it's like to physically feel like crap. And we've seen the impact that it has in the other areas of our life negatively, right? So when we get our fitness in check, it like tees us up to figure out how to get all our other areas of our life in check, you know? So it starts with our physicality, but it doesn't end there. I received a text recently. All right. This is powerful. I received a text recently, literally like yesterday, from someone I've been working with for almost a year now. And she is coming up on losing 100 pounds in a year. And so 100 pounds. And so she was telling me all these things that she can do now that she literally thought she could never do. She can run like a decent pace and for a long time, and she can be active with her kids, and she's rocking bikinis at the beach now and feeling like 100% confident in them. Like, And now, like, she has a complete shift in mindset about what she's able to accomplish. She just lost 100 pounds. What else can she do? What else can this girl do? But the one thing that literally made me bawl my eyes out, like I have chills thinking about it right now, is she said this quote: "I've now set out to live for me and my family rather than just exist." Holy crap. She is living to be alive now. Before, she was just living to exist. Now she is living to be alive. Literally chills all over my body. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. It's not about the six pack or the nice looking booty or the perfect body. It's about this. And this starts with your physicality, because I'm sorry. You cannot live to be alive if you're constantly feeling like crap and insecure about your body. You can't. And so if you're feeling tired and stressed and low all the time, it doesn't work out. It doesn't align with living to be alive like that. And I'm not saying happiness is from having the perfect body. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is that if your health and fitness is not in check, and that's a different definition for everybody. Health and fitness, right? That's different for everybody. But if you don't have your health and fitness in check in the way you want it to be, you will struggle for the rest of your life, because it does impact everything. Your physicality, the machine that you live in, if you don't have that in check, you will miss out on things. You will miss out on experiences. You will limit yourself to what you're physically capable of doing. You will miss out on feeling alive when you're always just so concerned about how you look and insecure about your body, and you're always feeling like crap. You cannot live to be alive with these things. All right. Because here's the thing. I've had that, right? I've had that insecurity. I'll be quite honest. There still is some insecurities that I'm dealing with. But this is why I'm doing what I do. I've had that insecurity. And before, you know, people told me all the time how great I looked, but I didn't care. I didn't care. I knew I had crap to figure out. I knew I had more. And the insecurity that I was constantly feeling was robbing me of my joy of every other amazing blessing in my life. It's so sad how it works that way. I have so many things to be grateful for, but this one thing in my life that I was so constantly insecure about was robbing me of the joy of every other amazing blessing in my life. Guys, I have a pretty damn good life. I am the first to say that I have a pretty damn good life, always. But I was prisoned by this anxiety and insecurity of how I looked. I was being robbed by my anxiety and insecurity. And so again, I believe everyone is beautiful just the way they are. Truly, guys, I am a believer in God. Everybody is a creation of God and they are beautiful. And so I'm not saying looking a certain way or being a certain body fat percent is an element of beauty. But what I'm saying is, if you are constantly dealing with the struggle of insecurity about how you look, there's something that you have that's more. You expect something of you that's more, and it's keeping you from being alive the way that you want to live. And it doesn't have to be that way. And so for some people, it's like, why don't you just, it's fine. You're fine. Like, just accept it. Accept the way it is. For me, it wasn't going to happen that way. I knew I had more. I knew I was never going to be okay with being averaged. I just knew that. So again, it's not about having the perfect body, but it's about living to my potential, seeing what I'm capable of, feeling my absolute best so I can live to be alive, right? And so, like I said, it starts with your physicality, but it doesn't end there, because our physicality impacts everything. And you've heard this quote before, right? How you do one thing is how you do everything. I fully believe that. How you do one thing is how you do everything, right? So let that sink in. How's your physicality? How's your fitness? How's your health? Are you living to your full potential? And so the other part about this is, If you're wanting, if you're out there to make changes, right, do it for you. If you have goals, do it for you, right? If you want to live to be alive, do it for you. And you want to live to your potential, do it for you. You want to get your fitness in check for you. And yeah, you'll be impacting people along the way and you'll inspire people along the way and people will notice, but do it for you so you can be fulfilled, right? Not because society says that a six pack is beautiful and now you want a six pack to show off to everyone else, right? That's when you make it about everyone else. You make it about looking a certain way. And looking a certain way leads to that anxiety you're already having anyways. That means you're just in it for all the wrong reasons, right? And you'll never get rid of that anxiety, that insecurity, right? So that being said, GFIT, I am way more about than just the physical transformations. You know, I want to help people live to their potential, but I understand that that's part of the process, you know? A physical transformation is essentially a byproduct of them, you know, living to their potential, feeling their best, and therefore living to be alive and not just to exist. All right. And so it sounds like I went on a tangent a little bit, and maybe I did. I don't know, but I promise, you know, it's all going to come together. So we're going to circle back. All right. So what the heck does creating a culture of design have to do with anything I just said? Well, what I did say was how you do one thing is how you do everything, right? And so we established that. But a quote that my dad said in his book, quote, "Nothing affects daily execution more powerfully than culture. Nothing affects daily execution more powerfully than culture." So daily execution, that comes down to the strategy, right? But what affects that daily execution? The culture. Nothing more powerfully than the culture. And so essentially it's not the strategy. It's not the diet. It's not the workout plan that's going to get you to where you want to be. It's your culture. It's the culture. My dad says, quote, I love this, "Culture eats strategy for breakfast," right? Culture eats strategy for breakfast. Yeah, you need a strategy. Like you can't go blind into, you have a goal. You can't go blind into the game plan and just running around doing whatever, hoping it just happens, right? But the strategy will only let you go as far as your inner culture lets you go. Your strategy will only let you go as far as your energy, as your inner culture lets you go. Cause that is the ultimate driver. And you might be able to get away with strategy for some time. Like you can follow it like a puppet for some time, but if that foundation of culture isn't aligned, it's only a matter of time before you crash, right? Sound familiar? How many times have you started something new, a new diet or a new fitness plan or whatever, you know, it's so easy the first couple of weeks because you are so bought in. You are so motivated. You literally can say no to anything off plan and it's easy. But then the inevitable happens. You lose motivation. You get bored. You get tired of eating the same crap or whatever it is that you're doing. Life happens and you can't stick to the plan like you thought you could. And so you're like, screw it. Why am I doing this anyways? This is dumb. Life is short. You know, I don't want to miss out on a good time with friends. I'm having major FOMO because everyone around me is drinking beer and eating pizza and brownies. And I'm over here eating my chicken and broccoli, right? The strategy, obviously, for one, needs to be a good strategy. Like who's going to eat chicken and broccoli for the rest of their life? Like, come on, people. So of course that's not going to last long, right? But it's the culture that sustains the behavior that gets the results that you want. So what entails your culture? What is a part of your culture? Let's get deep. Your beliefs, your identity, your heart. That's what makes up a culture. Your culture is the core of you. It's how you think, how you see, what you believe, how you live. My dad says, quote, in the book, "There is a profound difference between a concept in your head, strategy, in a belief in your heart culture. When a belief is truly core, this is still the quote. When a belief is truly core, when it is fully and completely on your heart, then it will drive everything that you do. The culture drives everything that you do, not the strategy. So at that point, if you've done the work, your culture is set, your identity is set, your beliefs in the process and in yourself, that's a whole nother conversation. Your beliefs in yourself are set. Your heart is set. The rest is easy. You are now aligned from the core of you, from the foundation that the behaviors and actions you take now every day are just automatic. Like it just makes sense. The culture drives the behavior. And now at that point, that behavior is automatic. And then the results just happen. Right? So here's the thing. How can you become so bought in with your heart and your identity and your culture? How do you become so bought in? Big word here, desire. Desire. You want it so bad. That desire, right, is what gets you to buy in with your entire heart, your identity, and your culture. But here's where everyone goes wrong. You know, they say, oh, I have the desire. Like I want the six pack so bad. I want the perfect body so bad. I want to see that number on the scale so bad. I want to do a pull up so bad. I want to be toned and lean so bad. I have the desire, but I'm sorry. You just can't get your heart and identity and culture bought into a goal like that. Right? You can't. So take it deeper. Why? I'm not saying all those goals are bad, okay? But I'm saying get to the real reason why. Take it deeper. Why do you want the six pack? Why do you want the body of your dreams? Why do you want that number on the scale? Why? Take it deeper. And so the girl I was talking about earlier who texted me, let's just call her Jane. I didn't ask her if I could talk about her, but so to keep it anonymous, her name's Jane. Her desire didn't end with just wanting to lose that 100 pounds and see that number on the scale. Her desire wasn't placed entirely in that. She wanted to live to be alive. That is powerful. Who doesn't want desire to live to be alive? Right? She wanted to enjoy life with her family and not just exist anymore. She wanted to take her fitness to a level where she never thought was possible. So she could prove to herself that she is capable, that she is badass, that she's incredible, right? Because now she feels like anything is possible. She can do anything, right? That's way deeper than the 100 pounds. That is powerful. That is desire, true desire. And so if being healthy and fit is just a strategy to you, like just do this workout and do that diet for however long you can do it for. And right now you're thinking like, Gigi, like really, do you need to take it that far? I just want to lose a few pounds. And you're talking to me about these things like identity and culture and belief and a heart and desire, like chill. And so honestly, if that's what you're thinking right now, that's the problem, sister. You will struggle for a long time with your fitness if that's your thought process. Now, sure. I mean, maybe you do have a goal where it's just to lose a couple pounds for a trip coming up, and that's fine. But if you're in this for the long haul, if you're truly in this for the long haul, you cannot think like that. You can't. So what I'm about to tell you, right, is going to save you years of frustration and disappointment. All right. If you have a goal and you're having trouble sticking to something and, you know, you're like, man, I'm just not motivated. Like, I just don't have the motivation right now, or you know, you started something, you did well, and then motivation starts to fade, right? It happens all the time. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a motivation problem, right? You not being able to stick to it. Well, for one, it could come down to the strategy. If it's a ridiculous strategy that nobody can stick to, come on. But if, you know, it's, if your motivation is fading and you can't stick to the goal or doing what you need to do to achieve that goal, it's not a motivation problem. It's an identity problem. It's a culture problem, right? And the true desire isn't there because you're not getting to the real reason of why you want it. You know, the moment I made fitness my identity changed my life, right? And what do you think the first thing was that I did? when I made fitness my identity, what was the first thing you think I did? I changed all my social media handles from Gigi Meyer 40 or whatever it was to Gigi Meyer Fit. Not because someone said like, oh, you're really good at this fitness stuff, you should do it for a living. And then someone told me, I was like, oh yeah, now I can like make my Instagram handle Gigi Meyer Fit. And now because people see me as a fitness person. No, I did that way before. I changed my handles way before. It was the first thing I did when I realized that fitness is the path that I wanted to go. I wanted to go this path, not because I wanted the six pack and the perfect body, but because I realized I wanted to stand out. This is what I wanted. I wanted to stand out. So I realized, yeah, I was after the six pack. That's not going to be enough. I need something more than that. I want to stand out. I want to have that respect for myself that I have for people like Tim Tebow and Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and like all those incredible athletes, Michael Jordan, like on his documentary I watched recently, how he stood out so much with his actions. I wanted, and I respect that so much. I wanted that respect for myself. And so it was beyond the six pack that I wanted and the perfect body. It was just that respect for myself that I'm able to do this and be different and stand out. And so before I made this decision, the only reason I would work out and diet is because I was so focused on the six pack and I wanted to be lean. There's no heart in that. There's no desire in that because it ends there. When you get to the six pack, it ends there. Then what, right? I put a huge emphasis on the strategy because I believed I needed to do all those things to get there, the diets, the hit death workouts, the starve yourself stuff, but I could never stick to it because I put so much emphasis on the strategy and the thing I was after was not the thing. I wasn't clear, right? And so again, guys, it's okay to want the six pack. I'm not saying you're a terrible person if you want the six pack. It's okay. Right. But what I realized was I needed to know more. I'm telling you, you need to know more. What is it that you're after? We need to go deeper. Why do we want the six pack? Why do we want what we want? And keeps asking yourself why until you get to that reason. And so what I did was I came to the conclusion that I didn't want the six pack. I wanted the respect for myself to stand out. And so Brian told me one day, actually, this is like what triggered it for me. So funny and low-key dumb, but John Mayer, right? Incredible musician. He grew up, you know, being a musician, going on tour. And what do musicians do when they're on tour? They party. Like, it's just part of it. They party so much. There's a lot of alcohol involved and other, you know, things. But he realized something. He realized that he was kind of not doing really well with his relationship with alcohol. And so what did he do? He stopped drinking. And as far as I know, he's been sober for a few years now. And Brian told me that. And I was like, wow. That, you know, some people might look at him and be like, why would you do that? Come on, just live your life. I'm like, wow, that is freaking awesome. That is respect. I freaking respect that. And he's standing out. How many musicians can say that? How many musicians can even do that? That's what I wanted. I wanted that respect for myself. And so I realized it wasn't the actual six pack that I wanted. It was that respect that I wanted for myself to stand out and be different. I didn't want to be a part of the average crowd anymore. I wanted to look, feel, and act different because I know I'm not average. So I can't make average a part of my culture, a part of my identity, no matter how hard I tried. I'm not average. So that's why I made fitness my identity and my culture, because I knew that's what it was going to have to take to really take it to where I wanted to go with it and stand out and be different and not be a part of the average crowd. And so that means I had to quit falling for the stuff that everyone else was doing, the diets and all the things. I actually educated myself. I learned about this stuff. I got a coach and I made this a part of who I am. Right. And so back to my girl, Jane, Jane, so powerful. Jane wanted to live, to be alive and not exist. And not just exist. She wanted to live, to be alive, and enjoy life. So she made fitness a part of her culture. She knew she had to get her physicality and fitness and health in check in order to achieve that. She wanted to live, to be alive. She made it a part of her identity. I think this is something that a lot of people can probably relate to. That is a deep reason that a lot of people might have for themselves is, I want to live to be alive. I want to take this machine of a body and go do some incredible things with it. You know, things I never thought would be possible. So cool. And so again, let's circle back to the very top. All right. You know, we are able to create a culture within ourselves by design, meaning with intention, purpose, and skill. And that will lead to the results that we want. And so by doing the work where it really matters, y'all, that's the foundation of success. Doing the work where it really matters, your culture and your identity. And so what's your culture look like? Is it intent? What right now? You know, have this conversation. Sit down and reflect. What does your culture look like right now? Is it intentionally designed? Are your behaviors, you know, aligned with the goals that you want? Because if not, then that's a culture problem. So is your culture intentionally designed, or are you living life by default? Right? Are you intentional? Are you impulsive? Okay. You know, and so in this chapter, my dad talks about his 2012 Ohio State Buckeyes team, where, although it's my dad's first year coaching them, right? It was after a tough year where there was, you know, improper benefits or whatever, some sort of scandal. And so they had a bull ban, right? A brand new head coach, my dad, comes in and, you know, everything's shattered. They had all odds against them. But my dad's focus was so much on the culture, you know, more so than the strategy to win. And although they didn't play like outstanding, like he'll say that, he says in the book, they didn't play outstanding, but you know, they ended up going 12-0, knowing they had zero shot for the Big Ten title, zero shot at a bowl game, and zero shot at the national championship, because their culture was so bought in. It was so aligned together. And like he said, they didn't play outstanding, but what, look, they went 12-0. All right. So culture eats strategy for breakfast. Perfect example of that. You know, establish your design to get the results that you want. Establish your culture by design to get the results that you want. All right. But again, you have to know exactly what you want and the reason you want it, so you can establish a culture where your heart, identity, and desire is solidified in. And the other part about that is, like, you got to really truly know if that's what you want. Like, don't kid yourself. You're just going to be swimming against the current the entire time if you're trying to kid yourself about something that you don't really truly have desire for. And so that comes with just really having a conversation with yourself, really reflecting on what you really want, what you value, and what you want to accomplish, and then do the work where it matters in your culture, your heart, your identity, right? And then the rest is easy. So I hope something stood out to you today. And if something did, please leave a rating and a comment, please. I would just love to hear your thoughts on this. I mean, my podcast, we're just getting started. We're just on episode 5. So I'm really excited, but I would love, love, love to hear your thoughts. And also, if you think someone could really benefit from today's episode, please share. And like I said before, I'm just on this mission to help as many people as possible. And you all are able to help me with that. You all can join the mission with me just by sharing this episode. So that being said, thank you so much for listening. I will see you in the next episode. Go crush the week.